So Fred said I have 2 hours, so we're going to have a great time. Chapter one. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to pre-warn you, my speaking style is like, do you guys ever see that experiment where they put a Coca-Cola and they put Mentos in? It kind of explodes. I'm kind of messy like that, so the people in the front, you're going to be a little, sorry about that. So that's my speaking style. I did prepare notes. I'm going to try to, I might as well just throw these away, because once I get going, I'm just kind of like all over the place. So I'm going to try and be really concise, deliver a good message, probably have a little Q&A at the end. I know I'm going to look in here later. I'm like, I forgot to talk about that. But I'm going to cover a lot of stuff that's probably not written on here. So I'll try to be very concise. Just give you a little background on myself. My name is Dr. Zach Fatkin. I'm a chiropractor, and I do nutrition work. 23 years I've been in practice. So I've been doing nutrition work for about 11 years. So my background, I always like to give a little input as how I got involved in this whole world. So about probably mid-30s, I started developing issues with anxiety, real bad anxiety disorder, depression, really bad insomnia, and it literally seemed to happen overnight. So I remember that time was not a great time in my life. I was really struggling with these problems. And, you know, so me being a chiropractor, I was always looking for a natural solution. I did not like medications, and I still don't like medications, because I do not like to own a label. So if you're labeled with anxiety disorder or depression or any label, really, I don't like labels. I don't want to own it. So the thing with me is I was always driven to find a solution to the problem. I wanted to find the root cause. So that's what my practice is about, is finding root causes to problems. So, but I wanted to kind of equip you guys as to how to improve your health, maybe break down some misconceptions about diet. Some of this stuff you guys may already know, but there's probably gonna be some things that are kind of enlightening and kind of break down some misconceptions and barriers to what we think. So that's a little bit about my health story. Fortunate for me, you know, I feel very blessed, and I thank God that I got sick. I know that sounds weird, like, you want to get sick? I'm like, well, that led me to where I am now. So, and I'm passionate about helping people. I'm passionate about educating people. So, and that's what I'm going to do today, is give you guys hopefully some good information. My easel, I had technical difficulty, so I hope everybody is really tiny, because I could not get any higher than that. So people in the back, you're not going to see anything. So the reason my health declined I'm 49, so about 13, 14 years ago, I'm going to give, so if anybody can guess this, I'm going to give you free care at my office for a month. I have not found anybody that figured this out yet, why my health declined. This picture I'm going to draw is the reason my health declined. I'm not a very good artist, but... Hold on, I'll give you guys... And this is the reason my health declined 13, 14 years ago. So can everybody see that? No. Stand up, take a look, because I want to give everybody the opportunity to win care in my office. Nightshades. That's a great guess, but absolutely not. No. What's that?
You're not connected to the volume.
Good guess, but no. This is the reason my health declined 12 years ago. Any other guesses for what this is?
Stuff getting trapped in your intestine.
Your electrical system.
That's a great guess. Chiropractor, looks like the spine, looks like the nerves.
Your minerals were off.
Yeah, these are all great guesses. I'm just going to... Did you see one of my health talks?
No.
Because you're close. This is the closest yet.
That's like a road, like live by.
Okay. So this is why my health declined. I've never had anybody even get close. Very good, very good. So up here, this is Charlotte, North Carolina. This is Route 85, and that's Spartanburg, South Carolina. So when I was in chiropractic school, see all these blocks here? Those were every Waffle House I ate at. at 2 a.m. in the morning after drinking with my friends. So this is why my health declined. So we had a lot of fun. I wouldn't advise it, but it was back in the day. So when I was in chiropractic school, we really poor diet. So a lot of sugar, a lot of fast food, just, you know, beat our bodies up. The thing is this, when you're in your 20s, you got all this growth hormone pumping, and you're pretty much invincible. Would you agree? Most people feel great in their 20s. Hit your mid-30s, growth hormone drops off, and guess what? All these symptoms appeared, and that's what happened to me. Mid-30s, I started getting depression, insomnia, anxiety, high blood pressure, and that's a pretty typical course for most people. They tend to fall usually in their mid-30s, around 40s, when people notice their blood pressure start to change. And my health significantly declined, and I paid for all the nights at Waffle House at 2 a.m. in the morning. So you were very close, so very good.
Half a month.
Okay. So I can honestly say, you know, I know this congregation likes truth, so that's what I'm going to present. You guys okay if I give you some truth and maybe some things we were told? I will tell you, our government is not always our friend when it comes to talking about proper diet. I know you can't believe that, but we kind of have the cards are stacked against us as far as our overall health. It really started back in around the, like 1917. There was the Department of Chemistry at that time, that was the FDA. And there were definitely some big company interests coming in, like Coca-Cola and some of these big companies that wanted to push their white refined sugar, white flour. And I know you guys can't believe this, but the guy that was in charge of the Department of Chemistry said they absolutely should not have these foods are nutrient deficient, they're gonna cause illness. So guess what they did with that guy? Swept him out the door. So, money. And unfortunately, a lot of our health has been an issue. You know, we brought these companies in, and it's definitely affecting our overall health. So we're definitely gonna drop some truth bombs. So I'm gonna break down some misconceptions today. So, I think a common thought is that bad health just lands in our lap. I don't know, I just got this illness or I just got that illness. I just want to share some stats with you. So did you know that U.S. spends more money on pharmaceuticals than any other country? I'm sure you guys probably know that. This was an interesting stat. Only approximately 5%, United States about approximately just under 5% of the world's population, and we consume 80% of all pharmaceuticals. So you can imagine such a small percentage of the world population and we consume almost all the pharmaceuticals, 80%. And you can follow stats too. I'm not gonna bore you with stats, but quite frankly, you know, I always draw the analogy of if you wanna join a team, wouldn't you wanna join the team that's maybe won all the championships for like the last 5 or 6 years? And so when we're following what we've been told and we're following our healthcare system, and I'm gonna say there's great parts of our healthcare system, so I'm not bashing our medical system, but there's parts of it that are excellent. There's lots of parts that aren't bringing us to health and trying to find root causes to why we have health issues. And if your doctor's talking about restoring function, that's what you want. You want a doctor says, we're gonna look at how to get your function back. Getting health is about regaining function back to the body. And I wrote down this analogy. So imagine you're sitting in class and you got a kid next to you and you can't remember a question. I would never do this. This is not Christian-like, but say you want to cheat on a test. Would you lean over to the guy who's got Fs on all the tests, or do you lean to the guy who's got the As? So we're kind of following, we're following the system that's in place, we're kind of following the guy that's got the Fs all the time. So we need to change how we think about our health overall. So one other thought is that genetics, I gotta have bad health because of my genetics. So we use genetics a lot. We respond to like, okay, I'm gonna have this health issue for genetics, so I'm just gonna do whatever I want. What I'll tell you is about 5 to 10% are truly genetic problems, genetic illnesses. About 90 to 95% are metabolic, okay? And that comes from lifestyle, cancers, diabetes, heart disease. Now that does not mean that if your family lineage, if you have a predisposition to heart disease, if you do, maybe let's say your parents had really bad diets, lots of white refined sugar, lots of white bread, and maybe they drank too much, maybe they smoked, they got cancer, heart disease maybe, or something like that. And if you follow in their footsteps and have the same crappy diet they had, you will probably get heart disease because you're predisposed, your genetic weakness is right there. But what I'll tell you is there's something called epigenetics. Epigenetics determines whether your genetic switches are turned on or off, which guess what? This is good news, this is very liberating, but it's also very scary because that means we are responsible for our health. So like, oh, it means I gotta do something with my diet. But we do have control over that, okay? So we're gonna dive into that right now. So the overall, I always like to go through this chart, just kind of give you an idea of how we get to a place of bad health. So hopefully you guys can see this. So I can write down any health issue up here, any disorder, any what I call dis-ease. So that would be a state of not being functioning well, a state of unease in the body, okay? But you could put fatigue up here, you could put inflammation, you could put insomnia, you can put arthritis, you could put any disease, any symptom up here. I'll just put dis-ease here, but you could put diabetes, you can put anything up here, okay? This is a state of disease in the body that the body is not functioning well, okay? This is absolute truth. So there's two things in common with that, and that is there's gonna be nutrition or nutrient deficiency in the body. I'm just gonna put nutrition deficiency in the body, and we're also gonna have organ or glandular dysfunction. Those areas not functioning well in the body. Would you agree that if these things didn't exist, if the body had plenty of nutrients and the glands and organs were functioning well, would we have dis-ease or disease? Absolutely not. There's no way. If we have the proper nutrients, all the organs and glands are functioning properly, dis-ease does not exist in the body. So the question is this, and I love this analogy, and they said, so whenever you're taking a pharmaceutical medication to lessen your symptoms, and sometimes they're needed. Sometimes they're absolutely needed, but if you're taking that, it's like shutting the check engine light off in your car. It's like pulling the fuse. I don't wanna know about it, la 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 la. But the key is this. If you have these issues and you have to take those medications, you should still be looking for the root cause and try to restore the body back to good function again. That's the key. Is, hey, you know what, you need this medication for the time being, but let's figure out why. Let's get the nutrients right. Let's work on the diet. And that's really the key. So how do we address this? So how do we address nutrient deficiency and organ dysfunction? And that's through proper diet. Am I boring you guys? Am I doing okay here? Proper diet and proper supplementation. Because unfortunately nowadays, we just don't get enough in our foods anymore. I was reading an article that was talking about if you ate a cup of spinach about 75 to 100 years ago, you would need to eat about 20 cups of spinach to have the same nutritional value. It's just an unfortunate, you can do the best with your diet and you still need to supplement. You just can't get enough in your diet nowadays. And that's unfortunate. Our soil is very mineral deficient and we just don't get the same thing. So, all right, so let me see here. I'm actually staying with my notes, I'm surprised. Well, now that we know where health, where dis-ease comes from and health, what we can do to restore health, let's look at dietary misconceptions. So I'm gonna bring this up here. And if you guys have any questions along the way, please stop me. I'm just keeping this nice and loose. So let's say there's a diet. There's do's and don'ts. And this is what we're told, okay? So I'm gonna kind of, what I'd say is, what I write in the do chart is actually, if you flip-flopped it, and this has a lot to do with our food pyramid, by the way, but let's say the do's. So can you guys think of like what they tell us to do dietarily? Any ideas? What's that?
Eliminate carbs.
Well, that's one thing, okay? But that what I'd say, probably they would say, common thing now is coming out that, yeah, they're kind of on track a little bit, but I would say like, so let's talk about like eat more, so the food pyramid would say eat more whole grains. Eat plenty of whole grains and plenty of cereals. Eat more whole grains. Cereals. I'll share an interesting study. This was great. These are some rat experiments they did back in 1942. A cereal company quickly hid the results of this cereal experiment. They used one group of rats received plain whole wheat grains, water, and synthetic vitamins. Second group received puffed wheat, which was their brand of cereal, water and same nutrient solution. A third set was given water and white sugar. A fourth set was given nothing but water and synthetic nutrients. The rats that received the whole wheat lived over a year. The rats that got nothing but water and vitamins lived for about 2 months. The animals on white sugar and water diet lived about a month. The study showed that the rats given the vitamins, water, and puffed wheat died within about 2 weeks. even before the rats that were given no food at all. I'll get into why. Another experiment back in the 1960s at the University of Michigan, three groups of rats. These poor rats, they just kept going after the rats. One group received corn flakes and water. One group received a cardboard box that the flakes were in and water. And there was a control group that received rat chow and water. So the rats with the control group, the rat chow did the best. They lived fairly healthy lives. The rats eating the box became lethargic and eventually died of nutrition. The rats receiving the corn flakes and water died before the rats were eating the box. So the takeaway there is the white refined sugars, the grains. Unfortunately, cereals, when they put under high heat, what they call extrusion, so a lot of people, hey, I need my bran flakes. I need to go to the bathroom properly. I need those bran flakes. When they put the grains under high heat, under what they call extrusion, it actually creates, they become neurotoxin. They become very toxic to the body. So I would say solutions for breakfast for those people that are really driven toward grains and said, oh, I just need my cereal. I'm like, really? How about some good old-fashioned eggs? But they're so expensive right now, so I'll give you some options. So the best thing to do is if you do like cereal in the morning, go with steel-cut oats. Thank you, brain fart. Steel-cut oats, soak them overnight in some warm water and a little bit of lemon juice or apple cider vinegar, because that takes what they call the anti-nutrients out of the grain, the tannins and what they call the phytic acid. These are the things that actually steal minerals from the body and actually block digestion. So you want to soak the grains. So steel cut would be the way to go. But ultimately, I love good quality proteins at breakfast time. What I would say with the, what's that? Water with a little bit of lemon juice to just create a little acidity in the water and some apple cider vinegar, okay? Just one or the other. Just to make it a little acidic. Don't need much there. Soak it overnight and it cooks a lot easier the next day. It breaks down all the hard to digest parts of the grain. Ultimately though, I always tell my patients, start the day with protein. And I don't care if you skip breakfast. You know, if your first meal is at lunchtime, that's fine, but make sure. I mean, some people do like to do a little fast and they don't eat till lunchtime. That's perfectly fine. But always try to make your first meal, get some protein, whether it be some eggs or some good quality meat, to help stabilize blood sugars first thing in the day. It satiates longer. You're getting plenty of vitamins in there, B12s and red meat, things like that. So you're getting plenty of nutrients doing it that way. But if you do want to do the oatmeal, like I said, I would soak it and then throw some good old-fashioned animal-based, you know, some butter in there or some coconut oil or some really healthy fat. So, and I can always write some stuff down as far as what healthy fats. And Stacy over there, she's very involved with the Weston A. Price Group, which I am as well. So we've got some literature here, but I'll hand out when we're done here, which kind of goes over healthy fats as well. So another one would be eat low fat. So a lot of people have heard eat the low fat diet. Don't eat fats. Fats are bad for you. Butter's bad for you. Butter evil. So butter is not evil. Eat as much butter as you want. Okay. Butter does not clog arteries. The greatest thing I found out when I learned how to eat well, I could have as much steak and eggs as I wanted, as much butter as I wanted. I do eat plenty of vegetables though, so there is balance to this, okay? So I'm seeing you smiling about that, so. So low fat's a big thing. They say eat low fat. Low fat yogurt, skim milk. I think most of us have been on skim milk over the years. My dad used to drink skim milk and I'm like, oh, it's like barely flavored water. So in my household, we drink raw milk. The more fat, the more. So the thing is this, and this is my overall. I'm jumping the gun here, but when Fred's up here speaking, and I'm always thinking like, You know, man, when man gets involved in anything, he totally messes everything up. You know, we got these, I'm just going to go on a little rant here. You know, we talk about, following the idols of man. And in essence, when we start following what man has done, as far as really denaturing food and changing food, that's when our health declines. The closer we stay to natural, God-given food, we can heal ourselves if we know how to, and it's not hard. You just go back to natural foods. Untampered, not denatured, raw foods, meats, you know, plenty of just really good fats and that sort of thing. So another one would be vegetable oil. So a lot of people are like, well, margarine was a thing back in the day. I don't know if anybody still uses margarine, but if you do, just throw it out. Just throw it out right away. Even though, and they market it beautifully, because like on a tub of margarine, they'll have a picture of a heart. Oh, it's good for my heart. That's great. So margarine, I've seen experiments where they had butter outside and they've had margarine outside to see what the squirrels will eat. The squirrels will never touch the margarine. They will always eat the butter. So what does that say about human beings? Does that mean squirrels are smarter than us? Sometimes I think it's the truth. But, so vegetable oils. My handwriting is horrible, by the way. Another one. So the traditional American diet is eating the traditional American breakfast. I said that the farther you can get away from that, the better your health will be, which would be fruit juices, bagels, muffins, waffles, pancakes, cereal. If you get away from all that stuff, go more to a nice nutrient-dense, plenty of healthy fats, eggs. If you do the oatmeal, get the steel cut. Like I said, throw some good healthy fat in there and some butter just to slow down that sugar spike. But to get away from the traditional American diet. So the don'ts here would be like, don't eat meat. People are afraid to eat meat. They're like, well, my doctor said I shouldn't eat meat. So we do need great sources of amino acids, great sources of protein like meats in our diet. Make sure they're quality meats. We definitely need the B12s. You need plenty of B12, which is found in red meat. So when people are eliminating these foods from their diet, they're eliminating a lot of the nutrients and the vitamins that they get from those foods. So, and all this in moderation, mind you. They also talk about saturated fats and cholesterol. So biggest one I talk about in my office is cholesterol. People are always afraid, well, my cholesterol's high. I'm like, okay, well, how are your triglycerides? Are triglycerides high? Well, no, they're great. I'm like, hey, cholesterol by itself means very little. You got to look at the whole picture. You know, we've got this whole reductionist model that we want to take everything and look at it like this. You got to look at the whole thing. You got to look at the whole body. So you got to look at their blood sugars. You got to look at their cholesterol. You got to look at their triglycerides. Those three numbers mean a lot. If you're only looking at cholesterol and saying, we got to lower that cholesterol, you might be doing more damage than good, depending on what else is going on with their body. And I will tell you, so we use cholesterol. People that are worried about their cholesterol and lowering cholesterol, maybe if they really have no risk of heart disease, you know, we use cholesterol to produce testosterone for men. It's used to produce hormones in women. It's a key component. People who are very low in cholesterol tend to have cognitive issues, brain issues, more tendency toward depression. So cholesterol is a vital nutrient we need. So cholesterol by itself is not a bad thing. What cholesterol is, so my dad owned an auto body shop, so I know this really well. So are you guys familiar with Bondo? Did you ever hear Bondo? Bondo to patch up a rusty spot on a car. Cholesterol is definitely, like, it's essentially Bondo in our body, okay? So if your blood flow and your vascular system has leaks, little leaks spring in our body, and the body wants to go give a little bit of Bondo, a little bit of cholesterol to patch those leaks in the vascular system. So when we essentially start reducing cholesterol, what we're doing is we're reducing our ability to actually patch those leaks. The problem lies is if the cholesterol continues to build up, that can become problematic. But the real answer is, why are there leaks to begin with? Let's go to the root cause. Let's try to find out why there's leaks to begin with. Why is there damage to the vascular system? And that usually comes with too much refined carbohydrates, too much sugar, too much toxicity in the body, because unfortunately we do live in a very toxic world. And that's a discussion for another day as far as toxins and how to eliminate toxins from your household and things like that. But I'm just gonna dive into diet today. So any questions thus far? Hope I'm not boring you guys. Okay, another one is don't eat butter, which I think I talked about already. and don't eat salt. Have you guys heard all that mantra before? Don't eat meat, don't eat butter, don't eat salt. So when you eliminate these key things from your diet, you're going to be in a bad place as far as your overall health. Because, and I'll give you some of these. I'll hand these out when we're done. But butter is a key component for vitamin A, vitamin D, and vitamin K, which are absolute essentials in our diet. Vitamin A is really great for good lung health, good skin health, good immune health in general. Stacey, yeah. Yeah, that's why when you can get grass-fed beef, get beef that's been exposed to the sunlight, has not been stuck inside a big, huge confinement. That's why you want pastured eggs, because they definitely do hold more nutrients. So what they're eating is definitely what you're eating. So you want as good quality as you can get. And there again, if you look at the two lists, basically, these are refined from man. These are given by God. So these are not tampered with. These are the truest sense, if you kind of just get back to that. I could sum up that talk and just come up and say, eat what God made, don't eat what man made. That's it. So see you later. Yeah. Drop the mic and walk out. So there you go. See if there's anything else I want to touch upon. Is there any other questions? Brown sugar is basically just white sugar that's, you know, just kind of a bleacher. It's kind of a, I think it's molasses in there or something like that. Yeah, you want to go, so I'll give you some options as far as sweeteners. Some of the better sweeteners out there that are not, you want to stay away from all man-made foods. That means artificial sweeteners. So when I have a patient and we talk about artificial sweeteners, they're like, I don't need any artificial sweeteners. And they're sitting there chewing gum. I'm like, you're chewing gum, right? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, what kind of gum? Wrigley's. I'm like, okay, well, right there, there's artificial sweeteners. So you're consuming, it's getting your bloodstream like that. So there's means of getting these stuff in we don't think about because we're not swallowing the gum. But so my point is, anything that's man-made, you want to get away from. Anything that's natural, you can absolutely heal your body through diet. So sweeteners, I would look at maple syrup's fantastic sweetener. Honey, raw honey would be great. Coconut palm sugar I use in a lot of my baking. So when I bake some stuff, I'll use some coconut palm sugar. If you did any sugar at all, like sugar, go with raw sugar because at least it's got some color and some minerals in it. The problem is when they refine any food. So the same thing with salt. Salt should have color. It should be pink. It should be gray. Once we start refining it, there again, man gets involved and they start refining. They pull all the minerals out of salt. And that becomes problematic because then you have bad salt. So you want the salt that's got minerals, got pink Himalayan salt or real salt. And that can actually, for some people, can actually lower their blood pressure, the right kind of salt. Because it actually hydrates, allows your body to hydrate properly. You need a tremendous amount of your body process work through sodium, so you need the bright salt in your diet. Most people are avoiding it. I say, no, you need more salt in your diet. And you need the right amount of potassium and salt there, so you're staying hydrated properly. So we talk a lot about electrolytes as well. But as far as the sweeteners go, yeah, raw honey, maple syrup, coconut palm sugar, I'd say was okay. Stevia would be all right, although some people don't like the taste of stevia, but that is a natural sweetener that doesn't cause quite the glycemic boost. Those would be my four go-tos, I think, as far as sweeteners go. Monk fruit, some people use monk fruit, that could be okay, yeah. Anything natural, you know, just get away from. There are some ones out there. I would look at anything. I'll write these down for you. Now, you guys probably know aspartame. Aspartame, you guys all know, but there's one called Ace K. You guys probably heard of Splenda. Ace K is one. That's an artificial sweetener. Sucralose. Sucralose is one. That basically is Splenda. So, but then you got aspartame, saccharin. But those are two. A lot of people aren't familiar with those names. So there are artificial sweeteners out there. I would avoid anything in a grocery store that says light. Don't do it, because there's one of those in there most likely. Occasionally it's just sweetened with stevia, then you're probably okay. But there again, you're probably getting into low-fat items, too. You want to get more than the high-fat. You actually lose weight by eating high-fat, healthy high-fat foods, and your blood work will come back better. Because when we start eating low-fat foods, you'll see, I often see their blood work gets all out of sorts. So you want to eat healthy fats. Stace, you want anything? You can come up here and talk with me. I know you know all this.
What about the fat on like a pork chop? Is that?
Eat it. Yeah, there's an interesting book called The Schwarzbein Principle. It's written from an endocrinologist. So this is, thank you for bringing this up. This is a good point. So some people like to look at amount of carbohydrates eat per day. Like the healthy, so they kind of narrowed into what a healthy range of carbohydrate consumption would be a day if you do track carbs. And there's little books you can actually track the number of carbs you eat per day. So the endocrinologist, her book was great. 72 grams of carbs is that healthy range, is about where you want to be per day on carbohydrates. I'm going to tell you, if you eat a banana and like two pieces of bread, you're already there. So it doesn't take much of anything to get up to 72 grams of carbs per day. The problem is, carbs are not evil. We just eat way, 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 way too many of them. And if you actually zero in your diet and find out what it takes, as well, I only had 72 grams, you'll be like, wow, it doesn't take much to get those grams up there. And as far as your body knows, sugar is sugar. So if you eat a banana or if you eat a Snickers bar, it's still sugar pumping through your veins. So it still can cause an insulin spike, cause inflammation in the body. So now I would say there's obviously more vitamins in a banana, but you're still dealing with the sugar spikes, and that can lead to some other health issues as well. But the Schwarzbein principle, so she wrote about how she had diabetics. She worked with type 2 diabetics, and she said that she had different groups. So they recommended eating low-fat, like lean meat. And she had a group that ate non-lean meat, just like a nice, big, healthy steak. The people that had some fat in there, or didn't do the lean chicken, they had more healthy fat. They had healthier blood sugars, and they had better results with clearing their type 2 diabetes than the person that ate lean everything. So they had that mindset of lean this, no fat this. The people that had a little healthy fat, more healthy fat in their diet, the body knows how to process it properly and actually helps stabilize those blood sugars.
So then stand on the chicken?
What's that?
Stand on the chicken?
I would say so, unless you're frying it, then you're into some problems there. And so I'm here to give alternatives though too. So if somebody fries something, use healthier frying oils, tallow. Believe it or not, lard is a better healthy fat than a vegetable oil, like a canola. People go right to the canola thinking it's a healthier version. You want to use certain things like tallow or like a healthy lard. Would you agree, Stacy?
Yeah. The number one thing if you walk away with only one thing is get rid of all your vegetable oil.
Yes. Yeah.
All of it, because that is like the number one thing.
Yeah. What there again, when man gets involved and they've created these trans fats, it completely messes the body up.
So yes, I would go, so your lard, your tallow, your ghee, mm-hmm. real butter, avocado oil a little bit, because it still has some problems. Coconut oil is a really good one because it actually bypasses your gallbladder. It digests really easily.
Olive oil.
Olive oil is okay, but not under high heat is the big thing. Isn't that great?
And they legally can get away without putting that on the label because most people aren't allergic to the vegetable oils. You know, whereas peanuts, they made it a law that they had to put it on there if there was a chance that it came in contact with peanuts. With olive oil, you don't need to do that. So we still have the luxury of buying from farms over in Greece and Italy direct, you know, where you can get good olive oil. There are some, like, near here. Echo Hill has an olive oil that is not organic, but they literally know the farmer. The father and one of the sons over in Greece are doing the pressing of the olives. So getting something like that and buying it bulk so you have it on hand is better than just going to the grocery store and picking something off the shelf. Sadly, we have that corruption.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then the other oils, I would say are meant for, you know, just seasoning things or salad dressings like sesame oil. Those should be kept kind of more to a minimum. You get more nutrient value and more nutrition from your...
So a lot of that's going to be in here. There'll be some tidbits in here, so you guys can grab one. Yeah, June.
Ghee.
Ghee is clarified butter.
Clarified butter. It's easier to digest if you're lactose intolerant.
I do ghee because the regular butter doesn't do quite well with me. G-H-E.
Where can you get it cheaper?
It's expensive, yeah. Yeah, it's pricey.
Oh, you can.
You can.
Okay, is that in the book?
What's that? Make ghee. Yeah.
I'm going to go back a little bit. You mentioned honey.
Yeah.
That also is a victim of false advertising. Yes. Most of it's corn syrup anyway, even though they advertise it. Where can you go to get true honey? I've heard it's
if you can buy it locally, some local.
That's true honey. It's not mixed with corn syrup and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, Olive Valley Organics is good. I know Dax. He's got some good stuff there. Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about, I'm asking this question after I got you from coffee, stomach acid, GERD, and digestible. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Which way do you want me to go? The problem with GERD is this, so we're given, a lot of times people give them PPIs, proton pump inhibitors. The problem isn't that you have too much acid. The problem, I'd say 99%, maybe 95% of the time, is you don't have enough acid. So the food, when you eat it, food's got to churn in your stomach, and it's got to break down enough to get to the small intestine. If you don't have enough stomach acid, it just sits there, and then it starts almost starts fermenting, and then it starts building up bad acid, which starts crawling up. Because as it sits there so long, it starts irritating that stomach sphincter. So the problem is, usually they need more hydrochloric acid. So usually they need more betaine hydrochloride, which is the stomach acid. There's some enzymes too that have betaine and some other things. You actually need more acid. What's that? I'm sorry? Yeah. I carry some in my office, but I believe there's some probably out there in different stores and stuff like that. So, some people, I would say, if they have too much stomach acid, they could have issues with H. pylori, different stomach bacteria in their stomach. Usually the glands I work on, I'm geeking out on you now. I'm geeking. The pituitary gland, which is up here, that has a lot to do with people who are prone to ulcers. Usually the pituitary gland's not quite functioning the way it's supposed to. So if somebody comes in my office, I look at their pituitary gland if they're prone to ulcers and it's too much. But usually it's just a matter of supplementing with the right hydrochloric acid. Betaine, I can write that down for you. It's called betaine hydrochloric. It's just a good stomach acid. Yeah, so yeah, I would look at betaine hydrochloride. Yeah, because usually, like I said, it just means you don't have enough stomach acid. If your body's able to digest the proteins better, you don't get the bad acid. So usually my go-to. Yeah.
You said butter is good for you, but what about all the salt in butter?
There again, I mean, the salt itself is not a bad thing. There are people that do have some salt sensitivities. That's a small percent of the population, so it might be slightly problematic to them, but typically it's not an issue because you need the salt anyways, and we typically don't get enough salt in our foods unless you're eating a lot of processed foods, canned foods, things like that, where they put a tremendous amount of sodium in there. If you're eating whole natural foods, you're probably not getting enough salt. You probably just need a little extra anyway. So
you can get unsalted butter.
You can.
It doesn't taste good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're going, this is all very expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not knocking what you're saying, and I'm not arguing against it, but it's like some of this stuff you're listening to.
What I would say is this. If we're eating nutrient-dense foods, we'll spend a tremendous amount of money, even though they're cheaper, and if you go like into a grocery store or Walmart, do you notice how they strategically place the Entenmann's right by the register and the Tasty Cakes? And because it's usually an impulse buy for one, but it's empty calories. So people are spending money on something that's delivering no nutritive value. If anything, it's actually stealing minerals out of your body. So we're actually causing the damage. So I recommend people spend more money on food than anything else, because that is, it's your health you're talking about. Hunt, get your own meat. Just do those things and live as close off the land as you possibly can. But there are things you need to spend money on. I spend a lot of money on food. It's not cheap to be healthy. But it's not cheap to be sick either, because I've seen people have their families completely destroyed by medical expenses. Absolutely destroyed. and they've gone through all their whole entire retirement. So, you know, it's a question of cost or value. You know what I mean? You can look at the cost of something, but ultimately the value in it, I mean, you know what I mean, Aaron. I mean, it's just a matter of some things you got to spend money on to keep yourself from getting sick, from getting ill. So, yeah.
I was just going to say something about the butter that you were asking about. There's a really huge difference. I found personally between Amish butter and the butter that you can pick up in the store. You can get the Amish butter salted or non-salted.
Yeah.
It does have an entirely different consistency and flavor than the butter you just get in the store.
Yeah.
And I know Echo Hill has it.
And but just to her point, just I noticed my wife bought a roll of, it was called Amish butter. It's marketed beautifully, and I guarantee it's not made from Amish people. You know what I mean? So be aware of marketing, because marketing, I mean, they're deceiving us in so many ways, and the marketing is bad. So if you can get it from a local farm, I mean, really get it from, you know, that's what you want, ultimately. Try to find a place that makes it, or you know the company that they're getting from is, I know there's a good Dove Songs up, and they make goat yogurts and goat cheeses, so they make a lot of stuff. They have good duck eggs, but there's lots of farms in the area. Stacy knows a lot of the farms because they're part of the Weston A. Price Group, so and
yeah.
She can probably give you information. She got a stack of cards if you guys are interested. Yeah, and that's just about learning how to eat. No, it's no obligation, and we're not selling anything. It's just to educate. We do that as a service to people. We have a lot of local farmers that come to those meetings, and but we talk a lot about gardening and all sorts of stuff. So,
with the deficiency in the soils and the water and air, what kind of supplements do you recommend?
Minerals. Most people are mineral deficient. So, big ones, potassium. I see a lot of potassium deficiency, magnesium deficiency. Yeah, a lot of people have been, I would say, kind of given wrong information regarding anemia. So a lot of times, and there's a great source of information that's called the Root Cause Protocol. So a lot of times people have been told they're anemic, I'm iron deficient. Most times people are not iron deficient. It's that their iron is in the wrong place. It's not in the bloodstream. It's actually locked in the tissues. So guess what? What happens to a piece of iron outside? It rusts, okay? That's oxidation. So have you guys heard of antioxidants? So we want to take antioxidants to slow down basically the rusting of our body. Well, unfortunately, too much iron in our body causes us to oxidize very quickly and break down and rust. The two minerals that this gentleman talks about, and I believe his information is fabulous, talks about copper, bioavailable copper in our diet, and magnesium. Really keys to good energy. Copper is basically the general of the army. And iron are the foot soldiers. If you don't have enough copper, what's the iron doing? They're kind of milling around. They don't know what to do. And they get stuck in our body and our tissues, and they start breaking down those tissues of the body. So it's about getting enough bioavailable copper. And that can be in really good whole food vitamin C products. It can also come in a food everybody loves, and that's grass-fed beef liver. So if I knew I'd get a laugh out of that. But Fred, eat your liver. Fred, eat your liver. Now, multivitamin, listen, the problem is this, there's about, I would say, there again, the cards are stacked against us. Most of your vitamin companies are owned by pharmaceutical companies. And the products are made from coal tar. They're not, I could read in this book here, and it goes into how it's about, you know, a lot of them are made of coal tar. So they're not good, they're obviously not good supplements for us to take. So, you know, I would say the Centrums, the daily, you know, the men's daily and all that stuff, you're just not getting much from. I wouldn't tell you to stop it because you might be getting a little bit of something, but you want to get whole food vitamins, absolutely. Anything made for Standard Process is the company I use. It's just great, great products, and there's other products I use as well. But yeah, magnesium's a big one. So as far as minerals go, potassium, things like that. So yeah.
Drink.
You mean as far as like Ensure and some of those?
No, I'm talking more like electrolytes.
Electrolytes. Anything with food colors, you know, I'd say. So my goal is I always go away from large companies. When you get into large companies, big billion-dollar companies like Gatorade and stuff like that, it's garbage. You know, they've gotten away from health. You can make an electrolyte drink yourself with a squeeze of lemon and a pinch of salt and stir it up. We carry some electrolytes in my office that have a potassium, magnesium. It's a good balance without the sweeteners and stuff like that. So there's some good ones on the market that are powder form. You just put them in some good clean water and shake them up. But yeah, I stay with Gatorades and Powerades and all that stuff. It's just not good. Too much other stuff in there. That's not good for you. Yeah. Okay, I don't want to keep you guys. If you guys have any, we'll just wrap it up. If you guys have any questions.
Apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Absolutely. That can be really good for the stomach, too.
Yeah,
I think, you know, just like anything, you can overdo anything. But I think a little shot a day is probably just fine. Yeah, good for the stomach. Can be good for a lot of things. So, yeah. Bragg's is a good one. I think Bragg's is a good quality one for that.
What's a good amount of water to drink in a day?
So they always say rule of thumb is like half your body weight, which most people probably heard that. Do I drink that? No. But quite frankly, I think I've heard different things. I've heard people, you know, if you're really thirsty, then you're already dehydrated, which I do believe that. I don't think you need to be forcing water either. So I think the key is really making sure your minerals are in good balance so that the fluids you are drinking are actually being pulled into the cells. There's people that are drinking tons of water and they're not hydrated because they don't have enough minerals. And the problem is the body can't pull the water. There's what they call sodium potassium pumps in our body. So you need that, you know, they're pumping. So you need a good proportion of potassium and sodium to pull the water into the cells. And if you're lacking one or the other, guess what? You're not pulling much water into the cells, so you're dehydrated. So minerals are key to that. So I would say, me personally, if you have enough good quality minerals in your body and you're taking a mineral supplement, potassium, different things like that, maybe making sure you have enough sodium in your diet, you're probably staying hydrated pretty well. So I would say probably around half your body weight or probably a little less than that. But yeah, you don't want to just drink one bottle of water. And I know some people that drink coffee all day and they think they're hydrated from that. Hey, Woody, how you doing? He drinks brown water. So they say about half your body weight, but I always say if you drink 16 ounces of water a day, and I'm all about gradient changes, try to get up to 30 ounces. Once you've done 30, you might feel good going up to 36. You know what I mean? So I don't believe in changing the body overnight because the body's gonna be like, what's going on? You've drank one bottle of water your whole life and now you're throwing in five bottles of water. No, gradually start just bringing up a little bit. And I say, just start the day with a glass of water. If you don't drink much water, I'll start the day with a glass of water and drink one before you go to bed. And then do whatever you've been doing up to that point prior throughout the day. That way that you're sure you're getting a little bit more. So that's it. Do I do blood testing? No, I do send some people for it though, but I do testing in different ways, but there are some blood. I actually sent one of my patients for blood work recently, so. But
as far as the minerals and electrolytes?
There's ways I test for that to find out your mineral deficiency. It's different from blood work though. Yeah.
Real quick, you mentioned lemon in your water. I've been reading how, I might be pronouncing this wrong, glyphosate, which is from Roundup.
Glyphosate, oh yeah, yeah.
It's like found in 87% of urine in American children, in fact.
Yeah.
So how do you make sure you properly wash your grapes and your blueberries?
I wish you were up here during this talk because I wanted to talk about that and I completely forgot.
Oh.
So I was reading something about all these granola bars and all these different like major food groups, and there was almost all the manufacturers had a significant amount of glyphosate, that's Roundup, in the food that probably most of our kids are eating, and a lot of grown-ups too. That's why I say, but you can always make the stuff yourself. Stay away from the glyphosate as much as you can. That's huge. And one of the things there, which just brought up my mind, was talking about orange juice. So that when they do the orange juice, when they make these major manufacturers, they put the whole peel and everything in there, which has been sprayed with a tremendous amount of plastic. So when you're drinking that juice, you're drinking pesticides. You think you're getting, I know, I'm ruining everybody today. I'm so sorry. This is supposed to bring you guys up, not bring you down.
Well, when they come to the meetings, then they'll learn all the good stuff.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, with glyphosate, so you don't have to worry about your fruits and vegetables quite as much as you do all the other things. Because if you say anything with citric acid, that's literally
you know, depending on where you're living and how they're raised. But you can do just a little bit of vinegar in your water, sit them in a bowl for a little bit, and rinse them.
You can use a grapefruit seed extract can be good to wash it off. What's that? I don't know.
Okay.
And I always be honest, if I don't know somebody.
Baking soda and water, and then rinse it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably all right. All right, listen, if anybody else has a question, I'm going to let you guys go. I probably kept you way too long.
Can I say